We're on. So we're doing Perek Aleph, Yeshayahu, Pasuk Dalet. So Yeshayahu in these psukim starts a series of rants, and it's a series of psukim that are going to start with the word Hoy, Hey Vav Yud, which means woe. And he's talking about the terrible state of the Jewish people at that time and their terrible averus. So he starts off and he says, Hoy, woe is goy choyte. Woe is to the sinful nation. Am, there are people that are keved ovoin. They're heavy with iniquity. Zera mereim. They're evil seeds. Bonim mashchisim. The corrupt children. Ozvu es Hashem. They've forsaken God. Niatzu es kedosh Yisrael. They provoked the Holy One of Yisrael. Nozoiru ochar. They drew backwards. So a whole full statement of the terrible state of the Jewish people at the time of Yeshayahu. Just to remember, the time of Yeshayahu is way before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, way before, over 100 years before that. At that time, though, the rest of Eretz Yisrael has already been exiled. There's nobody in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Only thing that's left is what we call the side of Yisrael, but that's when he is prophesizing. So he says that there's Zera Mereim. They're a bad seed. And this is contrast to what they were supposed to be. They're supposed to be a Zera Berach Hashem. They're supposed to be, they do come from a very special seed, that they're very special people, and they've gone ahead and they've done all these terrible things to make them into what they've become, which is Bonim Mashchisim, which are children that are evil children. So the word Mashchisim, Bonim Mashchisim, which comes from the word Hashchosa, so Bonim Mashchisim is a very special type of a destruction. The Bonim Mashchisim, they're corrupt, but it's a special type of corruption. And generally, the term Mashchisim is a corruption where there's no personal benefit from it. Sometimes people are corrupt and there's a personal benefit to them, but sometimes people are corrupt and there's just for the sake of corruption, just for this to be destructive for destructive purposes. So he's calling them such people that are corrupt for corrupt purposes. The pasuk also goes in a progression. The term chet, ches tafs aleph, is usually used for a shogeg, for an avera that's done inadvertently. Not by mistake necessarily, but it's just you do it because sometimes you can't help yourself. The term ovoin is a term that's used for intentional. So the term chet is an unintentional avera. No, I you have to look on because I have to get some more swarm. I forgot to get it. So the term chet is for a mistake, is for an avera that's done by mistake. The term ovoin is an intentional avera. So the pasuk says that the way that the people destroyed themselves was first, they were a chay goy chayte. First they started doing averas unintentionally. Then am kovet ovoin. Then they started doing averas intentionally. Until they got to progress even further where they were zera mereim bonim mashchisim. Where then they started doing averas just for the sake of an avera. Until they came to a point of ozvu es Hashem. Until they completely left God. So this was a progression. But the progression begins with a shogeg. Now generally, we say that a shogeg is someone made a mistake. Shogeg could be that you put the light on Shabbos, you woke up in the morning and you thought it was Sunday, and you walked into the bathroom and you turned your light on. It happens to people all the time. It happens to everybody at one point in their life. That you wake up in the morning, you think it was Sunday, and you turn the light on Shabbos, and you realize, oh, you know, it's Shabbos. So how does that progress for a person to do amazed? Here the Pasuk is saying that you progress from a shogeg until amazed. Because really a shogeg, doing an avera by mistake, is also a lack of concentration. You know, it's a lack of concentration. What do we tell our kids? Our kids say, I made a mistake. What do you tell them? Don't make mistakes. You should know better. But they made a mistake. And sometimes a mistake is, let's say, wake up in the middle of the night and you turn the light on, that's a real mistake. And sometimes a mistake because you're just not fearful enough. If you had the fear of Shabbos within you, then you would never make that mistake. If you really understood what an avera was, that's why we get punished for a shogeg. God doesn't punish us for an ones. An ones is something that you couldn't help. You couldn't stop yourself. And you did something, so you're not punished for an ones, but you're punished for a shogeg. Because a shogeg is a lack of concentration, lack of fear of God that would prevent you. So here you're going from a shogeg to amazed, intentional, to going ahead to being rebellious until such point that you go ahead and you do the worst of the worst. The Pasuk here calls the Jewish people Bonim Mashchisim, which are children that are corrupt. So while that sounds like a terrible term, calling Jews corrupt children, there's a machlokes in the Gemara. In the Gemara there's a machlokes as follows, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Pasuk says that Bonim Atem Lashem Aleichem, that the Jewish people are God's children. Says Rabbi Yehuda, they're only God's children when they're keeping the mitzvahs, when they're faithful to God. When they're faithful to God, they're God's children. When they're unfaithful to God, they're not God's children. Reb Meir disagrees. And Reb Meir says, even when they're unfaithful, they're still God's children. And Reb Meir brings a proof from this pasuk. Because here the pasuk is calling them what? Bonim Mashchisim. Calling them corrupt, what? Children. They're still calling them children. He did all of these terrible averas, and God is still calling them children. It's Bonim Mashchisim. So Reb Meir is of the opinion that even though that they are corrupt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still considers them and relates to them as his children. One of the Gedolim once said, so someone brings down, that generally over here we do Paskin like Reb Meir, which is interesting, because in every argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in Shas, there's a rule that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir be paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, except in this instance. That this is one of the only instances where we say that we paskin like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that even when they're corrupt, they're still considered to be God's children. So there was a question. The Gemara has a famous debate between an emperor, Tunus Rufus HaRasha, and Rabbi Akiva. And Tunus Rufus HaRasha and Rabbi Akiva had many discussions. In one of the discussions that they had, Tunus Rufus HaRasha asked Rabbi Akiva, if God loves, he asked him, does God like poor people? It's like poor people. So Rabbi Akiva says, yes, God likes poor people. He says, if he likes poor people, how come they're poor? Why are they poor? Why does it take care of them? If he likes them, and you think if someone likes somebody else, you know, he's got all the money in the world, why doesn't he, it's like having a rich brother, and there's one poor brother, and he doesn't take care of his poor brother. Obviously, he doesn't like his poor brother. So why doesn't he take care of the poor people? So Rabbi Akiva said that the reason why God doesn't take care of the poor people is in order that the people that have, the haves, will give money to the have-nots, and that will be a schus for the people that have money. So God wants that the people that have money should give people to the people that don't have money, and in that way, he goes ahead and they get a schus for going ahead and helping out a poor person. So Tunus Rufus HaRasha said, I don't understand. He says, I'm an emperor, and I know that if I go ahead there's a servant in my community, one of my servants, and my servants does something wrong to me, and I go and I put him into jail, and I sentence him to jail, and I sentence him to only have bread and water. If the warden goes into the jail and gives him something more than bread and water, what's going to happen to the warden? I'm going to kill him. What?
Yeah,
I'm going to kill him. So I don't understand. If God wants the person to be poor, and one of the haves gives the have-nots, so then it doesn't make sense. Then the people that have should be punished for giving. God doesn't want the guy to have money. So Rabbi Akiva says he got the marshal wrong. He says, imagine a king whose son does something wrong to him. He does something wrong. And the son gets sentenced to 30 days, 60 days for just bread and water. And the warden goes in and gives extra food to my son. How do you feel? I'm very happy. Someone's taking care of my son. So he says, God relates to us as children. We're the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes when you take care of his children. We're not the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not the Avodim, but we're the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk. Almeh Tuku comes from the word of Hake, which is hit. Almeh Tuku Oid. How do you allow yourself to be continuously hit? The Jewish people at that time, the people in Yehuda saw that the rest of Eretz Yisrael was being taken over. They saw the punishment that God was meting out against the people for not doing the right thing. So you would think that they would wake up and say, what? Let's do the right thing. But no, you continue to do bad, and I continue to have to hit you. Almeh Tuku Oid. How come I have to continue to hit you? Toisifu Sora. You continue to go ahead and rebel against me. Kol Roish Lochali V'cholevav Davoy. Every head is afflicted with illness, and every heart with malaise. And he says to them, I don't understand. Someone does something wrong, and you punch the guy out, and you hit him. He says, oh, I must have done something wrong, and I'll stop doing something wrong. But you continue to do wrong. You know that it's wrong. You know that you've been punished. You know things are going bad, and you continue to do it over and over and over again, even though you know it's wrong. The Malbim takes a little bit of a different spin, and the Malbim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, generally, when someone does something wrong and you punish him in order that he should, you know, God's punishments are not punitive. General philosophy of punishment in Jewish thought is that punishment is not punitive. It's not there to hurt you. The punishment in Jewish thought is rehabilitative. That the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a person is not because he wants to hurt the person. It's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do. You know, maybe in other philosophies, it's there to put, you did something wrong and you have to get a patch and you got to get punished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish us for punitive purposes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us in order to rehabilitate us. So the Pasuk is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is almost like saying, you know, I feel like funny even continuing to hit you. Because the only reason why I want to hit you is to make you better. But you're not getting it. You're not becoming better. So Almeh Tuku, why should I continue to hit you if you're not going to learn your lesson and you're not going to become a better person? And then he says, Mikaf Regel Va'ad Roish. I've hit you so much that from the sole of your feet, Va'ad Roish until your head, Ein Boy Misoim. There's nothing that's complete. You're all full of wounds. Petza v'chabura, wounds and contusions. Umaka churia, and all kinds of fresh wounds. Loizoiru, that can't be bandaged. V'loichuboshu, v'loirukocho b'shemen, that they haven't been bandaged nor softened with oil. Means all of your wounds are still raw. All your wounds haven't healed, and you're still, even though the wounds have yet not been healed, and you still continue to do bad over and over and over again, you continue to do bad. And then he says, we come to a point where Arzachem Shemama, where your land is now desolate, which is most of Eretz Yisrael, or large parts of Eretz Yisrael are desolate. Arecham, your cities, are serufais esh, are burnt in fire. Admaschem, your land, linegdechem, in your presence, zorim oichlamoisa. You see how Eretz Yisrael is now being eaten up by strangers are devouring it. Ushimama, and it's desolate, kimapecha zorim, and it's turned over to strangers. I mean, that was the state of Eretz Yisrael at that time, where large parts of Eretz Yisrael have already been taken over by the other countries. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, what they did was that they immediately, they didn't just take over the land. They took all the inhabitants of the land and they moved them out of Eretz Yisrael. They moved them out of Eretz Yisrael and they transported them to all over the world. That's where we have, you know, all the stories of the 10 tribes, the lost tribes. The Jewish people were forcibly removed from Eretz Yisrael, and they were literally exiled into all corners of the world. I don't know if any of you have ever read these books about the lost tribes and research, but they come up with the Jewish customs in India and parts of Africa and all different parts of the world that have some kind of a remnant of some kind of Jewish customs. They don't know where they have it from, and there's a thought that maybe they have it because that's where the lost tribes were exiled, but they were literally taken and spread it all over the world. And that's what they're talking about here. The Vilna Gaon says that we talked about here Arzachem and Arechem and Admaschem. That Arzachem is Eretz Yisrael, and Arechem is Yerushalayim, and Admaschem is the Beis HaMikdash. The term Admaschem is considered to be the Beis HaMikdash. That he says, and one of his proofs are that when God created man, He created man ofar min ha'adama, the Pasuk says. That man was created from dust from the Adama, and the Medrash says that the Adama was the place of the Beis HaMikdash. That God took the earth from the place where the Beis HaMikdash was eventually going to be, and from that earth He created man. So Arzachem is Eretz Yisrael, and then Arechem is Yerushalayim. It's interesting that the Vilna Gaon in a different place, he asked the question that when we make a bracha on fruits from the ground, we make what bracha? Bayri pri adama. When we make a bracha on bread, you make a bracha what? Hamoitzi lechem min ha'aretz. And he asked the question, how can we change from aretz to adama? Why don't we use the same term? They both mean land. So why won't we say Moitzi lechem min ha'adama? We say by fruits of the ground, you say Bayri pri adama, and on bread you say Moitzi lechem min ha'aretz. So why are we changing from aretz to adama? So the Vilna Gaon says that when you're making a bracha on bread, which is made from wheat, so wheat is one of the seven minim that Eretz Yisrael is known for. So really, and the bracha, it says, for wheat, what is so special about the seven species that Eretz Yisrael is known for? The seven minim grow all over the world. Those seven species grow all over the world. So why do we say those seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael? So the Vilna Gaon says that the bracha for those seven fruits for the entire world comes first to Eretz Yisrael, and then from Eretz Yisrael, it flows to the rest of the world. So really, when you're saying Hamoitzi lechem min ha'aretz, you're referring to Eretz Yisrael. You're not referring to the ground, you're referring Hamoitzi lechem min ha'aretz from Eretz Yisrael. Bayri pri adama is from the rest of the world, which is the same like over here, where he says Arzachem refers to Eretz Yisrael. Pasiches. He says, V'noisra basiyad. Yerushalayim has been left kesuka. Bakerim, like a hut in a vineyard, and kimeluna, as a sleeping hut, b'miksha, in a cucumber field, ki'ir netzura, like a besieged city. It seems that when people had large tracts of land, and they needed to, they didn't have tractors and vehicles that went by motor. So when you had large tracts of fields, but sometimes people had large tracts of field to take care of, they would go out into the field and they'd be working in the field, and they would not be able, again, there was no lights, and when dark came, your day was over. So what they didn't have flashlights either. So what they did was they had out in the field, they had like a sukkah. They had like a lean-to, like a temporary dwelling out in the fields, where they would then go and stay in the fields overnight. So in the vineyards, it's called the sukkah, and in the cucumber fields, it's called kimeluna. So he's saying that basically Eretz Yisrael was left so bereft of people that there was only like one house here and one house here and one house over there. But Rosh Hashanah Lefor Hirsch says an interesting thing. And he says that the image of Eretz Yisrael being like a sleeping hut, like a sukkah, refers to the Beis HaMikdash. And he said what was happened in their time is what happens in times of a lot of people. That what happened in their time is that they only related to the Beis HaMikdash and to God in times of trouble. That when things went wrong, all of a sudden everybody went running to the Beis HaMikdash. When things were good in the person's life, so he didn't know about God. If things were going well, everything was wonderful, I don't need the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I don't got to daven, I don't got to come to the Beis HaMikdash, I don't need God, I'm doing well. But when things, Chas V'Shalom, went bad, all of a sudden they found God. So the Beis HaMikdash became like a sleeping hut, that you only visited the sleeping hut when you needed to sleep. When you needed the hut, that's when you came to the Beis HaMikdash. That their whole relationship with Judaism was based upon only by necessity, out of need and necessity, and not a real devotion to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That sometimes people, even in our times, you see people that only relate to the religion for their own personal needs. The whole concept of davening by most people is only basically gimme, 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 gimme. I'm davening for my panasa. I'm davening for my health. I'm davening for this. I'm davening for that. And that's not what davening is really about. That's not what Yiddishkeit's about. That's not our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By davening is to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To have some kind of relationship, not a relationship built on just give me, give me, give me. Pasuk Tes. Lulei Hashem Tzivokos. Had not the Rabbeinu Shel Olam hoisa lanu sarid, had he not left us as a remnant. Because again, the only remnants left in Eretz Yisrael are the parts of Yehuda and Binyamin. There's only a small portion of Eretz Yisrael remaining. They're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left us as a sarid kima'at. We almost became kisdaim. We almost became like stone. Hayinu and La Moira Domino, and we resemble Amoira. They split up Sodom and Amoira. Generally, we talk about Sodom and Amoira in one sentence. Here it says Kimat Kisdaim Hayinu, La Moira Domino. What is the difference between Sodom and Amoira? So the Alshach says the difference between Sodom and Amoira is of one big difference. From Sodom, Lot and his family were saved. Sodom was not completely destroyed. Amora was completely destroyed. There were two different cities. And Lot and his family lived in Sodom, and they were saved from Sodom. So he says, Kemat kesdom hayinu, we're more like Sodom, but we could have been like Amora. It could have been that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed us completely. So, from here we learn an interesting thing. That here, Yeshayo is saying that the people were saying we're almost like Sodom. You know, they were saying it in terms of, Yeshayo was saying it in terms of like, almost like a good thing, that we almost became like Sodom. And he was thanking the Rabbanu Shel Olam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't destroy us completely like he destroyed Sodom and Amorah. So it's like a person saying, oh, Baruch Hashem, we didn't end up to be, we could have ended up to be like Sodom and Amorah, and we didn't end up to be like Sodom and Amorah. The Gemara says a person is forbidden to use such terms. The Gemara says, Al yiftach peh l'satan, that a person should not almost like say something bad about himself. A person is never supposed to say, I'm a terrible person, or I could have, this could have happened to me, or chas v'shalom, I wish I would die. It's called Al yiftach adam peh l'satan. A person shouldn't open his mouth to the satan. Because a person, even by saying something in comparison, even by saying, I almost became like Sodom, is automatically highlighting what you could have become. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Efshetaka. Maybe really. Maybe you could have been like Sodom. You know, why didn't you become like Sodom? Why didn't I punish you like Sodom? So a person is not supposed to tempt faith. A person is not supposed to say such a thing that kemat kesdoim hoyinu. Another interesting thing that the Gemara says from this Gemara, that what happens, the Gemara has a discussion whether if you said that that guy, he's like a mamza. He's like a bastard. You didn't call him a bastard. Because if you call a guy a bastard, so then he can go ahead and take it to the Torah, you defame me. But you didn't say he's a mamza. He says, you're kim mamza. You know, you act like a mamza. Why don't you tell the guy, you act like a mamza. So the Gemara says, from here, you see, not allowed to say that. Because here, when Yeshayahu said that the Jewish people were almost like Sodom, we'll see the next pasuk, God punishes them. So God punishes them for saying that you're almost like Sodom. So a person is not supposed to say about another person that he's almost like a mamza, which is also part of the same thing as La Yiftach Peh L'Satan. And the Sefer Chassidim talks about, Sefer Chassidim was not these days Chassidim, it's a Sefer from way before. That a person, you know, sometimes we tell our children, you know, you can't tell your child, you should never say to a child or another person, okay, go shmad yourself. You don't like it? So go become, don't keep the religion. That you're not allowed to use those terms, because those terms, again, are terms of Yiftach Peh L'Satan. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person shouldn't say, so sometimes a person is something bad happens to a person, and the person says, you know, I God punishes me, but really he should have punished me a lot worse. I know I should have gotten worse. That a person is not permitted to say that. A person is not supposed to say, L'nifrati kefi maisai, that God punished me, But I deserved worse. Even though he's thanking God for not giving him worse, but you're not supposed to say that, because ayiftach peh l'satan, there's a concept of ayiftach peh l'satan. Okay. Shimu Devar Hashem, and here's what God says. You said upon yourself that you're almost like Sodom. Shimu Devar Hashem, listen to the word of Hashem. Kitzine Sodom, you are the rulers of Sodom. Hazinu, listen closely to Teiras Elikenu. Listen to the Torah of God. Am Amora, you people of Amora. So in the previous pasuk, he said, Kisdom. And now he calls them Kitzine Sodom. And then he says, Loma li roiv sivchechem, Yema Hashem. And this is a very, very important concept. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes says to us, sometimes a person does things that are wrong, and then he goes to shul, and he gets up in shul, and he's davening along Shemayin Esrei, and he's davening, and sometimes people's demeanor in shul is a lot different than their demeanor outside of shul. that once they walk out of shul, they're a different person. And here the pasuk says, Lomali roiv zivchechem. What do I need all your kabanas? What do I need it for? Yemar Hashem. Sovati oilos. I have enough. I'm sated with your oilos, with your carbon oila. Elam, the chale of Miriam, and the fat of your animals. Vidam porim ukvasim vatudim loy chafatsti. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't need you to come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring these karbanas when you're doing all these terrible things on the outside. And they once heard like a marshal that there was a guy that used to come to shul, and when he came to shul, he was like all dressed up, and he would come all dressed up in his nice clothing. He'd wear a suit and a tie, and then afterwards he would go out, and whatever work that he had, he was a farmer, whatever he had, he would be dressed like in street clothing, dressed like a farmer, and this would go on for days and days and weeks and months, and that's the way he was. He came into shul, whenever you saw him in shul in the morning, you saw him in shul at night, you saw him in shul on Shabbos, he was dressed up very nice. When you saw him outside, he was filthy and dressed in his farmer clothing. And one day he comes to shul with his farmer clothing. And they say to him, what did you do? Well, why did you come into your farmer clothing? He says, you know, I'm tired of living, I felt like I was like a dichotomy. Yeah, I felt like I was like a show. I'm really a guy that dresses in dirty clothing, or filthy clothing, that's what I am. And I was coming to shul all dressed up like I was some kind of a good guy. So they say, I don't understand. We thought that was your costume. That this is the real you, and that's your costume. You know, sometimes we forget what the real you is. Sometimes a person comes into shul, he acts one way between people. He acts, whether it's in shul, whether it's between people, he acts in one way. Sometimes people act very differently outside the home than they do acting inside the home. They can be very nice to people outside the home. They're not so nice in their home. Sometimes people walk into shul and they look like they're very frum and fine and pious people. They walk out of shul and they do kol davar asa. They're not nice to people and they're bad. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lama li roiv zivchechem. Stop. I don't need the karbanas. The kabbanas is not where it's at. And that's not what I need. The kabbanas are nice, and the kabbanas are a mitzvah. But that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from a person. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from a person is to do the right thing between people. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is to do the right thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it. You know, there's a famous medrash. The medrash says there was a bunch of tanoim, I forgot who it was, that were walking after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And they were walking with the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and two of the guys were crying, and they were crying, and so he asked them, why are you crying? And they said to him, well, it used to be that a person did an Avera, and you went ahead and you bought a carbon, and Niskapala, you got Kapara. You did an Avera, you bought a carbon, and you were fine. He says, now, what's going to happen? We're going to do an Avera, and what are we going to do? So the I think it was Rabbi Akiva answered him, and Rabbi Akiva says, that we have something in our toolbox which is better than a carbon. Where the pasuk says, Ki chesed chofatzti v'loy zovach. I want your chesed and not your karbonis. So if you do a carbon, if you do chesed, then a chesed is like bringing a carbon. Why is a chesed like bringing a carbon? Because a chesed is you're showing your relationship to other people. You're showing your compassion to other people. You're showing that you're an erlich person. You're showing that the money is not yours, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you money, and you're using it for other people. You're showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm taking care of your children. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately wants. Because if a person doesn't have a relationship with other human beings, he has no relationship with God. And in all of the Svarim, and all of what we learn, the Ben Adam L'Chaveroi is sometimes more important than the Ben Adam L'Makom. Because if you have no Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, you have no Ben Adam L'Makom. So if a person is an animal outside, and he comes to shul, and he comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and he's bringing karbanas, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be honest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be erlich, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do chesed, that through the doing of chesed, you show HaKadosh Baruch Hu what you really feel about your Yiddishkeit, about where it's all at. And that's what the Gemara also says, G'dayla tefila yaser min akarbanis. That davening is more important than a carbon. The davening that we can do is more important than a carbon, and the proof of it is the pasuk lama li roiv sevchechem. Why do I need all of these karbonas? Okay, we'll stop here.
Well, isn't this the karbonas you still have to do too?